Good morning, GameCat fans. Today is Wednesday, September 9th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well on this wide open Wednesday, which we will be celebrating later today on Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show and the show. Just wanted to let everybody know David Cloninger will be in today. Chris Clark from Gamecock Central will be in today. I'll be in today. Mad Dog will be in today, and you'll be in today because our chat box, the MacKellar Enterprises chat box, is wide open. Each and every Wednesday, we take all of your questions, especially during that third hour with the show with Mad Dog and Al. We're just really focused on that. It's kind of y'all's day, the Gamecock Nation, to kind of take over the show. So really looking forward to that. Carolina had their press conference yesterday for Towson State, or Towson, I guess. See, Kent went by Kent State for a while, then Kent, then I think it went back to Kent State, and Towson's gone back and forth. So it's a bit confusing. They used to be Towson State, now they're Towson. The Tigers, one of many teams through the years, the Gamecocks have played with that mascot, and probably one they'll have a little bit more success with than maybe LSU, Missouri, Clemson, Auburn historically, but it's an FCS team that's played two games. They lost to Maine by a field goal in week zero and then got beat by Navy 42-15. Gave Navy a challenge. I guess I said, would that be an in-state rivalry? It's an in-state game because Towson and Annapolis are both in Maryland, but Navy beat them 42-15 going away. Second quarter got a little hairy for the midshipmen. Towson's got a pretty good plan of things offensively, according to Beamer. Results haven't been all that great this year, 18 and 15 points, but certainly they've got some capable players. And as Beamer said yesterday, they present some challenges with their scheme and what they do. They have a veteran coach. So we'll see what happens Saturday night with the Towson State, our Towson Tigers. Coming to town, second straight lower level opponent, and then it's 10 straight Power Four teams on the schedule, nine straight in the SEC. So it's kind of, I don't want to say easy, but a get your feet wet kind of schedule, and then it's right into it with a really good Mississippi State team coming into Columbia on in 2 weeks from Saturday. Can't wait. I'll be there. Can't wait to go in and see the SEC home opener, the SEC opener of the 2026 season with this team. But first things first, the Kent State game is over, 57-0. We all know that it was a tremendous opener as openers go around here. And certainly there's a lot of positives to build on. There's some negatives too. And you want that. You want that in your first game because you never want to peak. Just like the offense last year peaked the first drive of the season in many ways. You don't want to peak too early. It's like peaking in middle school or in sixth grade. And I think I've had some friends that peaked in sixth grade, unfortunately. Sometimes I think I did, just to be honest. I had a great year in sixth grade, but you don't want to peak too early. That's the whole point. But Carolina came out and took care of business, which is what good teams do. There's a lot of good teams around the SEC that have aspirations this year that also took care of business. So you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. And so you dig into the nitty-gritty. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today on the defensive side of the ball. Now, Clayton White's unit played well. I thought that when you look at shutting them out, not giving up a lot of crazy big plays. Kent State couldn't really drive it. They were obviously affected by the heat and tired, but Carolina got after them pretty good. But there were some exceptions. There were some exceptions there, and there were some things that if you do them against better teams, they could cost you. And we'll start with kind of the topic du jour yesterday with the defense. It was the quarterback contain. Drew DeShields and then their backup both had runs that were explosive plays that equaled about 50 of their, I think, 194 yards. Kamario Taylor and Keelan Russell and even Minchie Brand. I mean, go down the list of quarterbacks South Carolina has to face this year, and you do stuff like that and lose contain, that can equal a surprisingly big play against your defense. You just don't want that. You got to clean it up. Justin Okoronkwo met with the media yesterday and said it's just kind of about assignments and if they'd have played their assignment right, made the right read, followed their keys, they would have been fine. So I'm sure that'll be a point of emphasis when you have a win like that. Sometimes, you're like, well, what do we coach this week? These guys know what to coach and all that, because there's certainly some things that need to be pointed out as far as that's concerned. So a little bit more disciplined on the quarterback runs. And Carolina's got a lot of aggressive, fast players defensively. And so I guess that happens from time to time. A guy slips out, but you need to fix it because last season, if you remember correctly, in the Clemson game, Cade Klubnik, I think he sat back there like and had a cup of coffee and he was getting pressure from the right. And then one of the longest short touchdown runs by a quarterback in the history of football took place. And he just kind of broke contain and scored. And so you got to have that. You got to have your linebackers and edge players and defensive backs or whoever's responsible. Make sure that the quarterback doesn't pop out of there and burn you because believe me, Drew DeShields and the Kent State backup are good athletes, but there's going to be better coming down quickly. Now, the other thing about Saturday that was interesting, only one turnover, and that was on an ill-advised, I don't know if it was, call it a prayer, or the kid was just trying to make a play. Causey Barnes, I think, picked off their backup quarterback late in the game, freshman defensive back from Greensboro. So always good to see him get his first pick. But there weren't any turnovers. I mean, not a lot of forced fumbles. Kent State did not put the ball on the ground all that often. I'm pretty sure their coaching staff emphasized that, like everybody does against South Carolina. And sometimes the turnovers don't come, and that's been the thing. About this defense is that it's lived off turnovers. And so after 1 year, you have a lot of turnovers, and then maybe the next you don't. We've seen that around here before. The 17 defense versus the 18 defense, you just didn't get them in 18, 17. It seemed like teams were just fumbling and throwing picks and stuff like that over and over. But Clayton White's been pretty consistent with it. Carolina's been the best in the SEC at doing that. Am I going to sit here and say it's disappointing when you shut a team out and you only get one turnover? No. I mean, there's nothing disappointing about Saturday, but you do want to be in a position to where you're forcing more and things like that. Part of it could have been the way Kent State was playing. It probably was. The other part of it is this. The secondary sort of had a, I don't want to say a light day, but I mean, there was a stat out there, 40% of South Carolina's total tackles, and this is very rare, it was one of the best numbers in the country, came from the defensive line. That's edge and tackle. So they weren't even getting to the linebackers. Yeah, so sometimes, you kind of run into a wall there and you're going to protect the football if you're coached right at running back. And so that happened, and that's probably one of the other factors into it. But who knows? But you'd like to see a few more turnovers forced by the Gamecocks, and the Gamecocks on offense. And this episode of Coffee is not necessarily about the offense, but the Gamecocks did put the ball on the ground a couple of times. They got them back. Fuller had one. DJ Black had one. And so you want to keep winning the turnover battle. That's kind of been the secret sauce around here. So Carolina needs to, need to hope for some more turnovers against Towson, especially against Mississippi State. They're very, very helpful. I thought too, and look, man, this is not, none of this is like ultra criticism, because it'll come, and it's one of those things where unless it keeps happening, you're not really worried about it. Like for a while, at certain points last season, South Carolina, their defensive backs got in a bad habit of dropping interceptions. And that's a thing because it happened over the course of several weeks. This is something that we just have one game to go on. And so it just happened Saturday. Julian Walker and Fred Johnson both, they didn't miss tackles, but they didn't bring him to the ground. Walker, I think twice had pressure on the quarterback, could have gotten a sack. Carolina only had one sack on the day too, and we'll get to that in a second. And just didn't, I don't know if he didn't wrap up. There's probably something fundamental that he needed to do. I'm not worried about Julian Walker getting guys on the ground. That's kind of a welcome to, this is college football moment. A lot of times when you're playing edge or defensive end, you get there and you're like, oh, you're excited. And, you got to complete the play, though. Anthony Addison was there to back him up on one of those. And the idea is it's much harder to get pressure and affect the quarterback than it is to actually close the deal once you're there. That said, Kamario Taylor coming up in a couple of weeks, a big guy like Lenore Sellers, not quite as big as Lenoris, but he's a bigger quarterback that can definitely escape. And so with Julian Walker specifically, you want that. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, Darrelius Clark, Kent State's kind of dynamic returner, and they finally kind of went to him on offense, the little jet sweep, and this did my heart good because I always reference teams trying to do that when Kyle Kennard was at Carolina, and Kennard would shut it down and they didn't try it anymore. Well, they got the ball to Darrelius one time and Fred Johnson had it diagnosed and, I mean, closed like a maniac. But the guy got loose, and Peyton Williams and the rest of the defense had to clean it up. It seemed like everybody was there. So good job getting to the ball. But you don't want that guy to pop out either, And I think Fred Johnson probably was just excited to get there and all because he was the first one there to make the play. And again, with him, I'm not too worried about him closing the deal on things. But those are the types of little things, though, that, kind of feed into the missed opportunity category. There are some on offense as well. And there's no flawless game, it's on either side against any opponent. It won't be flawless Saturday night. The idea is to have a very low rate of plays where you go, gosh, I wish I could add that one back. It would have been good to do. And honestly, with the one Walker missed sack, Anthony Addison got the sack anyway. With the one Fred Johnson missed tackle for a loss, Peyton Williams and everybody else was there anyway. So it really didn't hurt the team. But individually, you're like, well, next time you get there, you want to get there. And so that was kind of another missed opportunity. So I've kind of gone through the needs improvement areas on defense, and they're all kind of minor. But they could become major things against a better opponent. I mean, you're not playing a team here in a couple of weeks that, is entirely from the northern quadrant of the country and has been practicing in Kent, Ohio, where it's been 77 to 85 degrees all summer, very few days over 90, and they're in the 100 and whatever degree heat in Columbia. And just worn slap out, it's hard to play through those conditions. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that against Towson because it's not supposed to be as hot. And I'm not saying the heat is the reason South Carolina blew Kent State out. I think you probably have a pretty good chance of doing that regardless. But, you're not going to get those kind of conditions and that kind of opponent moving forward. So the little things do matter as far as cleanup goes. But there's a lot of good. I mean, really. I mentioned the 40% tackles by the defensive line. That's a stellar number. What that tells me too is the tackles are good at stopping the run and the edge positions holding. I thought they were really good at stopping the run the other day. Because it's if you can't set the edge, teams can pop things out on you. They didn't get very far wide. And things like that. I think Carolina did give up a screen pass for some plays, but once they settled in, it was Katie bar the door for the Kent State offense. But I think that the defensive line playing the run was pretty stout, and that's going to be needed because there's very few teams around the SEC that do not want to run the football on you. Sometimes maybe Alabama, you kind of question that, but they got a quarterback that can. But everybody's going to try to run. And so you better be ready to stop it. And when your defensive line is doing that much, and you don't really have to, your linebacker, safeties, whoever, really aren't getting a ton of work in, because of it. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. It's just a sign, but that's a good sign. I thought the tackles, especially Tomiwa Adorijaiye, were very, very good. I thought Gabe Brown-Lanende got in there and flashed and played, really inspired football at times. Troy Pikes played good. Noah Clark played good. And they didn't rotate those guys. If you look at the snap counts, it wasn't as much as maybe you thought. When you look at the defensive line room, Tomiwa had 27 snaps. Kelby Collins, who started the game in the 3-4, at 20. Brown-Lanende 14. Pikes 13. Clark 10. Aiden Harris 5. Caleb Williams 5. Jordan Thomas 3. Christian Ingram 2. And that's the tackle room. At edge, Anthony Addison 22. Caleb Herring 22. Julian Walker 21. Drew Collins had 12. Quay Dodd 7. Kobe Saki-Pry 7. George Wilson 4. So Gamecocks got some work in for a guy like Drew Collins and stuff at the edge. But this is a rotation. Man, 14 snaps for Brown-Lanende, that'll probably go up, I would imagine. And then Walker and Herring and Addison were all kind of rotating in and out. And then Kelby Collins, who's been really good since he's been here and got the start, kind of in that defensive end inside position of the three-man front. He's going to be good too. But I expect that rotation to tighten a little bit. I could Jordan Thomas play more. Yes, Aiden Harris flashed when he was in there. But it's hard. They're going to continue to rotate. Travion Robertson does a good job of doing that. And so I thought the tackles, especially Durajaye, were pretty stout on Saturday. It seemed to be the type of room that we thought it would be. And they're only going to get better. And we'll see kind of how it goes. You're going to need those guys here in a couple of weeks. A lot of talk about the pass rush and the lack of sacks. I don't know that Kent State was a team that really, wanted to be sacked. I think Drew DeShields too, their quarterback, can get out of trouble. But he won't be the only one. I mean, you got two coming up after this bunch this weekend that can definitely escape. And so you got to affect the passer. I think Carolina did, for the most part, especially in drop back situations. But you have to make sure you continue to do that. Now this weekend's going to be a good opportunity for that because Towson, according to Beamer and looking at them, they're more drop back passing type. They sit in the pocket and throw it down the field. And so this is going to be probably a pretty good test. Carolina goes out and kind of struggles and still doesn't get much sacks, and it doesn't seem like they're pressuring. Then, maybe you're like, wow, they really need Dylan Stewart back. If they go out and the rest of these guys play really well and they affect the passer and have some sacks and hurries and things of that nature, then certainly. All is right in Gamecock land. It was maybe just a style of play thing. And sometimes you play a team and your D line's kicking their offensive line's butt, but it doesn't show up on the stat sheet as far as sacks. Sacks, some coaches say sacks are overrated. I don't think they're overrated. I just think they're more rare than people think, right? Hurries affecting the passer, all that good stuff. And the D line did kick Kent State's butt because, again, 40% of the whole tackles for the whole game were like that. So I think Saturday night is a good night. As they say, let them eat, let the pass rush eat, because that's what Towson State's going to do is their drop back They're going to try to drop back, throw it down the field, like Beamer said. Now maybe they decide to do something different because they're playing South Carolina. But I think that's this style of offense is coming at a good time for the Gamecocks. Now Mississippi State's offense is just like South Carolina's, same system. So however you figure out how to stop what Carolina does, that's kind of, and that's a good thing because Carolina's been practicing against it, but so has Mississippi State's defense. But we'll talk about that one next week. Thought linebackers and secondary played pretty well. They substituted a lot at both spots. Jamie and Risher got a lot of snaps in. Fred Johnson and Justin Okoronkwo took the lion's share. They are at the top of the depth chart. And I think Sean Murphy's a much improved player and certainly a valuable part. And during games that, are competitive, Johnson, Okoronkwo, and Murphy are all just going to rotate. But they got Keenan Britt in, Andrew Harris got in, Donovan Darden played. Murphy's a captain. But I do think talent-wise, Justin Okoronkwo and Fred Johnson are probably your top two. Plus, those guys that started last year, they were kind of returning starters. Murphy didn't really come on until the end, but I still think Sean Murphy is going to be a big part of this team. And so you look at kind of the linebacking core. I also think this, we were talking about pass rush. Justin Okoronkwo has some natural ability. Beamer mentioned this when they were talking about opening the 3-3-5. Some of these linebackers, he said, can rush, are good enough at rushing the passer. I think Justin's the one that's got the skill set with the length and things like that. They all do. But I'm very intrigued by Justin coming after the quarterback. Maybe we'll see it this weekend. Maybe Clayton White will dial up some pressure. But yeah, the secondary covered pretty well. Collier, Swain, Boosie Williams, Gerald Kilgore, and Quasheed Scott both kind of rotated at nickel. And I thought Scott flashed and looked pretty good at times, but Kilgore was solid as well. They got a lot of snaps for DeMarcus Leach, 17 on the day. Jazavian Kearns got 16, Kendall Daniels, 16. Boy, they played a lot of guys. Landon Kurtz got out there, Isaiah McClary, Ethan Johnson, three snaps. There we go. The App State guy, he's listed as an or when it comes to the depth chart this week, which they released officially. And keep in mind, too, with some of these snap counts, there were 5 minutes of football that they didn't play. They only played 55 minutes. So Tristan Lewis got his first action, a freshman from Greenwood. So that's part of the beauty of blowing somebody out is that you get a lot of people some snaps. But if you just ask me, as far as like who started versus, and this is just one game, so you don't want to make any dramatic determinations. But I really like what, I'll just say this, I like what Quasheed Scott and Jazavian Currents bring to the table as far as it factor goes. Big play guys waiting to happen. Gerald Kilgore's obviously made a bunch of big plays, and David Busey's an awfully solid player. I think, I don't know, I'm just very intrigued by those two, and we'll see what happens with their PT moving forward. So, all in all, a solid day on defense. There is some stuff to clean up. They did play a ton of guys, especially in the secondary, man. I didn't know all these guys got in. That's something else. But, I think all in all, it was a good start. There's just some things to clean up. And I think that Towson as an opponent, sometimes you schedule these, you don't know what they're, when you schedule them, you don't know what they're going to run offensively, And so I think it comes at a good time that sort of a pseudo dropback team or dropback team that wants to throw it down the field's coming in because that's a different type of attack than sort of the spread option type of stuff. Kind of your standard spread that Kent State ran. And Towson will probably challenge them mentally. Beamer was talking about how their schemes are a little different and things like that. And you got to get those assignments down. Assignment football is what they call it. I mentioned Dylan Stewart and also Jacarius Peake. Beamer had some news on that yesterday. They're back practicing in pads with contact. Probably not going to play this weekend. He also gave a shout out to the conspiracy theorists that said they weren't going to play. And so I guess Beamer reads message boards, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he does or not. But It's all over Twitter, some of this. I don't think he's going to play. Well, that was never in the cards for Dylan Stewart or Peak. They're just not wired that way. And that kind of gets back to good recruiting. You don't recruit, this program, if there's a guy that even hinted about something like that, I don't think Carolina would have him here. They try to kind of, as best they can, you never know. Well, I mean, something pops up these days, you just never know. But as best they can, they try to get guys that, want to be here and want to play football. And that's a big part of the battle nowadays with the portal and everything. I'll talk more about the offense and offensive line tomorrow with Peak. I just think there's going to be some very interesting decisions made at that spot once he gets back on the offensive line. And kind of a skewed viewpoint right now because everybody kind of played well. They rotated 9 or 10. They all played well, including Darius Gray. But that's a subject for down the road. Defensively, though, with Dylan Stewart, I thought Anthony Addison played a heck of a game. And of course, Julian Walker and Caleb Herring played really well, too. The whole edge room did. You add Dylan in as a fourth. It's not just because they only had one sack either. A lot of folks are going, well, we need Dylan back because we only got one sack. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think they need Dylan back though, because everybody needs Dylan Stewart back. What Dylan Stewart does is messes with the offensive coordinator. And he has since game 2 of his freshman year against Kentucky. Team saw that tape against Kentucky and they're like, oh my God. The big blue wall was a big blue bowl of jelly in that one. They saw what he could do. So you always have to account for him and you're always worried about him because he can wreck it. I mean, even last year, man, he hurt his back against Oklahoma and he couldn't go that many snaps, right? Couldn't go a whole bunch. Against A&M, you saw him shoot off the edge, blow the play up in the backfield, and that led to a Nick Barrett touchdown. So he's good for that, if you don't account for him. And even if you do, he can beat you. And what that does is kind of opens it up for the other guys. I mean, there's a reason Brian Thomas Jr. is playing for the Jaguars now and had 6 sacks last year because a lot of one-on-ones. The film was good. He got in the pros and earned a spot. Kyle Kennard had a big year, obviously, opposite Stewart. And a lot of that's because of the attention you have to pay to number 6. And just his natural pass rushing ability. I also believe this is a year where if he plays at a high level consistently, he could be the number 1 overall pick in the draft, and that means a lot, right? So there's some motivation there too. Not that he's never been m not motivated. I don't want people to think that, but this could be his year to be, as Beamer says, the best version of himself. And you just never know when he's going to make a play. We talked about turnovers and that guy can, I mean, even when he's not causing turnovers, he can cause turnovers. If you remember the interception that sealed the Clemson game a couple of years ago, who had pressure on Klubnik, it was number 6. So they do need to get him back. I do think Mississippi State's the more realistic. I mean, not this weekend. I don't know why you would against Towson. You just don't want to risk it at all. You want to make sure those guys are good to go 100%. Maybe they're 90%, but get them to 100. Get them ready to go for 10 straight Power Four games. So that's kind of the deal with the defense. A very good start. Some stuff to clean up, obviously. And a good opponent coming in to work on those things this weekend. And hopefully, if Carolina takes care of business, another day where a lot of players, or another night where a lot of players will play. And continue to get those valuable reps and gain confidence, and then next week it starts the conference season, right? So anyway, that's been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope to see you guys on the show on Wide Open Wednesday. I'm out. Holla.